I was going to say, it does always seem like doom and gloom in general, or at least I always talk about the downside and the risk, because I think one of the biggest parts of trading and investing is the mental game, in managing your emotions. And if you understand what could potentially happen on the bad side, then you can put a plan in place and protect it.
Hello and welcome back to Soar Financially, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on this channel where we discuss the macro to understand the micro. My name is Kai Hoffman. I'm the @JR Mining Guy on Twitter and the CEO of the Soar Financial Group. Really appreciate you joining us here for a bit of a different discussion than what you've seen the last few days here on our channel, because we've invited back a technical analyst. It's Chris Vermeulen, a returning guest to the channel, and we're going to break down some charts. We've done a lot of theory. Now let's look at the pragmatics. Let's look at the charts and what do they tell us. Really, really interesting picture out there, of course. And everybody who's following the market knows that the S&P 500 is touching on all-time highs yet again. Seems like a daily news headline here these days. So, of course, we're in a melt-up phase, blow-up top phase of the market. So I'm curious to see how far the chart can be stretched and how much longer this rally will go. And, of course, we're going to look at gold, some of the other commodities, uranium. I want to know whether the bull has lost its breath or broken its leg and needs to take behind the shed, or if there's a lot more momentum behind the uranium price, for example, as well. Curious to debate that. And, of course, a lot more with our fantastic guest. And now I'm going to switch over as soon as you hit that subscribe button. 3, 2, 1. Try something new here. Chris, it's good to see you. Thank you so much for joining me again. It's good to see you.
Yeah, same here, Kai. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah, Chris, we got lots to talk about. We just chatted briefly off camera as well. A lot of topics, a lot of charts we should look at to try understand what is happening, because it's crazy out there, I have to admit. And I just mentioned to you as well, like, gold is holding up really, really well, while the S&P 500 is rallying. The dollar is showing some strength here as well, but gold is holding up. But before we get to the precious metal, Chris, we need to talk about overall markets. How healthy is the overall market? How happy are you with the market right now and momentum it's showing and the signs it's showing you?
Yeah. So we can look at the market from kind of a really, really high level, big picture analysis, and we can zoom in. So I think you and I have shared this before, which are the four stages that the stock market goes through. This is based on Stan Weinstein, his theory that more or less, I believe we are in this stage three topping phase with the stock market. Now, some people are like, well, how can you say that if the indexes are hitting new all-time highs? That is a good question. When you peel back the onion layers to the market here, you'll realize that, you know, the big techs are doing all the heavy weight. I'm going to show you here on a chart why I believe we're still in this stage three topping phase before we go into potentially a very big decline like the 08 bear market, like the tech bubble bear market, which is a stage four, which will reset financials. And this plays into how precious metals will come into favor again down the road. So again, I think we're right at this peak in the market. We're very close to seeing those top out. And while the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are hitting all-time highs, if we go and take a look at this, an equal weighted ETF of the S&P 500, and we'll drop down to a weekly chart here. If we look at this chart, we can see that the RSP, this is equal weighted. So this is removing a lot of the heavyweight tech. The stock market, the S&P 500, really is just coming up to a double top. I wouldn't be surprised if we pierce it, maybe push a little bit higher, but we are definitely seeing the general market, when you take out all the weightings, really just coming up for a major double top. And I also like to look at the Russell 2000 as a good gauge, because it's the majority of the stocks. And if we look at the chart pattern, we can see it's very similar to a stage three, where we have this big move up and then it cracks to the downside and we have this sideways complacency. This is a big bear market showing small caps are going to be pointing to a much lower pricing down the way. Now, what's really interesting is if you take the small cap sector and you take the equal weighted S&P 500 index, this really gives us a big picture view of the stock market. And it is in this stage three topping phase where it put in a top, it's pulled back. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see this market go down. So, you know, we're seeing the semiconductors and AI, that wave is still powering and dragging these big indexes up. But the majority of stocks, while they've had a rally this year, and some of last year, they are well off their highs and they're struggling. So we need to be aware that this market, I think, is on its last legs. And I think we're coming into this sell in May and go away for the stock market. In fact, if we look at seasonality, Kai, we can see that the market generally tops out somewhere in May, June, maybe July, and then it kind of sells off into the end of the year. And if you were to take this seasonality chart and overlay it with just last year's price action, it is almost identical to what we saw here. So I think we have this one more push. NVIDIA is just enough to get everybody who's not in the markets to jump in and have that FOMO that they're missing out. And that could carry us through into May, a few more months, and then we could see the market big selling start to step in. So there's a lot of really interesting scenarios coming into play when we look at it from stage analysis, from what the general market is doing, if you strip out the tech.
You mentioned double top in the S&P 500. Just real quick to follow up on that, what does that mean and what's the significance of that? Like how important is that technically?
Yeah, so a double top is when the stock market, if we take a look here, a double top is known as a level in the market or a price pattern on the chart. From a technical analyst standpoint, the market comes up, it pulls back, and then goes back up to hit this level again, which will act as resistance. And then eventually we see it correct. And if it breaks the support level, then it's going to go into like a multi-wave sell-off and kickstart a huge drop. We've seen this before, and you see it in all kinds of different assets, but we could even scroll back and go and take a look at 2000 and the 2000 market top here. We pretty much had a double top. The market came up, put in a top, pulled back, rallied back up, came up for this double top scenario. We saw it in 2007, 2008, put in a top, had a sharp pullback, put in a slightly higher second top here. And then, of course, it fell 54%. So double tops are very, very important. That doesn't mean they have to hit to the T perfect. They can not quite make a double top in terms of hitting price. It can fall short a little bit. This is the weekly chart. And also, it can also go a little bit higher. And when the market goes a little bit higher, it can really suck a lot of people in. It's one of those last kind of ways for the market to get people who have been sitting on the sidelines, who missed out on all of last year's rallies. They're not part of this year's move and NVIDIA. And so when the stock market keeps hitting these new all-time highs almost daily, as you said, Kai, it is just, you know, poking at the average investor who says, oh, I got to get in. I think the markets are going to fall, but it's taking off without me. And so that's what the scenario in the market right now is doing. It's sucking in those who don't know much about the markets. They have missed out and they just can't take the pain of missing out anymore. And in fact, I was speaking to some people over the weekend that have literally opened an app on their phone. They moved over a few hundred bucks and they bought NVIDIA because their friends all own it and they're young people. So this is like, to me, this is like that herd mentality of the last few people are getting sucked into this market. It could still send the stock market higher, NVIDIA higher, all these, but we don't know how much further, but we are definitely close, I think, to a major top. So that's how all the double top kind of scenario plays out.
No, I appreciate you clarifying that. I was just curious about the significance, because what to watch out for if we break through that line to the upside, of course, what does that mean? Massive rally maybe potentially following, but if it doesn't, watch out, right? Mm-hmm. And NVIDIA is like an interesting one, because we were chatting, before off camera as well, because I was watching it fairly closely. I usually don't follow the main indices too closely, but of course, NVIDIA reported earnings last week. And what I noticed was the investors were also nervous. They didn't know really what to expect. Of course, there's the hype around AI, but they surprised the market, of course, to the upside, as we all know now. But beforehand, they were selling. Like at one point, I think it was the sharpest drop-off in market cap we might have seen in history. I might have been misquoting that, but it was a massive market cap drop off, 5-6% the day before. The market was nervous. So is that just a sign of nervousness, like volatility to a degree, but weak legs perhaps?
Yeah, I think there's a lot at play. I have the daily chart of NVIDIA, and 3 days before earnings, the stock fell 11%. Huge. I mean, it went from 750 all the way down to 660. I think that's the sell-off you're talking about there. And I think there's a lot of reasons why it probably pulled back. Again, if we look at the big picture of this, I mean, it's just gone parabolic. And typically near the end of a move, we start to see sharp pullbacks, huge gaps, whether they're up or down, and big rallies. And that's what we're just starting to see. The general public now is getting sucked into NVIDIA because of their news. And it seems like everybody wants to own it because they feel like they're missing out. Their friends all have it. So these are all signs that we're getting into this topping phase, but there are such huge gains made for those who are long NVIDIA that I think a lot of them are you know, locking in some gains. They're like, why do I want to risk it? If they miss earnings, this could get hit really hard. Why don't I just lock in the profits? We'll see what the earnings are. And then if I want to get back in, I'll get back in. So I think there was a lot at play. People were getting nervous. People wanted to protect their capital or their gains and lock in some of that.
No, absolutely. No, appreciate you clarifying that. Thanks for showing us that chart there. I'm always curious because, again, it is so hotly debated out there as well. So it'd be good to put some perspective around it. Let's look at some of the smaller companies as well, because everybody says, well, we got the AI and the chip craze, but the rest of the economy is not faring that well. And I think a good index and indicator is probably the Russell 2000. I know you're quite familiar with it as well. So I feel comfortable asking it. How's the Russell 2000 doing? How are the smaller companies doing? Is there really that bifurcation that we've been talking about in other interviews in the past before, where people are saying, well, we are technically in a recession, the market is just not showing it to us because of what we discussed just now as well?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have the daily chart of the Russell 2000. And really, if you look back over the past pretty much 2 years, you can see it's just been a sideways, noisy chart, very range bound. Right now, price is trading up near resistance. It really is just a sideways pause within this, what I believe is this topping phase. Again, I think it broke down, and I think eventually we're going to start to see this sell off in a very big way. So to me, small caps, you know, the overall market right now, when you equal weight it and look at small caps, everything is running into resistance. The only things really popping and breaking are things related to AI and tech and the odd other sector here and there. But the majority of stocks are slamming their head into resistance here. I think we're going to start to see, you know, the market start to become even more volatile, bigger pops, bigger drops. And that's just people getting nervous. And so the small cap space has had a good run, but it is struggling at this point at resistance.
You gave us a bit of glimpse back into 2000, 2001, and I think that's the most comparable time frame because it's technology. So, of course, we had a tech bubble back then. How comparable is it really, though, from a charting perspective as well? You mentioned the double tops back in that time frame, but is there any other lesson we can learn from it? Like, especially around the time of the breaking point when things started to take a turn for the worse here back then when the bubbles burst.
Yeah, when we look at it's hard to see on this chart because it's so far back. But if I was to go back here to the 2000, like the Russell 2000 ETF doesn't quite go before 2000, but you can see here it was a very choppy market, and it did have a very big correction just from the highs that we have there. I mean, we saw about a 40% drop. I know they were higher previously to that. But because this wasn't directly, you know, super tech related, it was definitely more of a wave and just waves of people wanting to get back into the stock market and then moving out. Whereas the tech sector, you know, we really saw it kind of go off a waterfall sell off and it just kept going lower and lower and lower. So the Russell 2000 is a little bit different in how it moves. It's a different group of stocks. Obviously, there's a ton of tech companies now in the small cap space. So there will be some of that, probably more weighting of that. But overall, you know, the Russell 2000 is generally pretty choppy. It's really good in a new bull market. But as soon as we were out of a stage two, like strong bull market trend, it does this type of move. It's all sideways. It's choppy, very difficult to trade. It's actually a lot like what miners have been doing for quite a while. So I tend to avoid, I look at these for a reference of what, you know, money's doing with these groups of stocks, but I generally don't want to touch or trade them until there is a major trend at play, because this stuff is, you got to become a very good trader and they're volatile. It just adds a lot of risks that I believe you can just move and find a different asset that's got a nice clean trend.
What's one of those? Like, do you have an example for us top of your head right now? Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean the stock index, obviously we've got this beautiful trend. It just keeps going up and hitting targets. When we look at the S&P 500, sentiment is still very strong. We could look at, for example, XLP, which were long the consumer staples, pretty boring sector. If it will load here, but it's a, you know, if we take a look at how it has been moving, it has run to the upside ever since the stock market became favorable back in early November. It just keeps chugging up. And I think a big chunk of that is because people are nervous. Consumer staples, toothpaste, toilet paper, all that stuff is going to be needed no matter how big of a recession we have. And so people keep slowly moving into these defensive plays like XLP because the wall of worry, we're climbing this wall of worry in the stock market. The VIX is a really good indication of what is going on. And we can see if we just zoom in to the VIX, this year the stock market is up. And if we also look more and more nervous, the market keeps going higher and higher. And eventually we're going to hit this point where enough people have FOMO that they're like, forget it, I'm getting in. And they're going to pile in and the fear will drop. And we'll see the VIX probably go down. This could be one last push up in the market from between now and May. And we'll see this final kind of reset in the market. Very similar to what we saw over here. We see fear climb and then eventually people hit the breaking point. They pile into the market and the VIX falls and the stock market really shoots off. So we still have fear. And until this fear is gone and has been cleansed, I think we're going to see the stock market continue to grind higher against what people, you know, a lot of people are betting against this market here. They're buying inverse ETFs. They're buying put options. They're fighting the trend and people love to pick tops and bottoms. Cause when you nail one, you do make a fortune, but you pretty much always give it away, give it all back over the next 10 or 15 that you try to pick that didn't work out. So picking tops and bottoms is super dangerous. And this is the reason why people keep trying to bet against it. They're getting more nervous, expecting price to fall, and it doesn't.
No. Let's stay on that safe haven investment to a degree. Like you mentioned, the consumer staples here. I'd love to discuss with you gold versus bonds versus the US dollar. I just came off an interview with Tom Luongo as well, and he mentioned those three sort of as safe haven investments. And by the looks of it, they're all moving in the same direction right now. Like roughly, like let's not get too nitpicky here, but the US dollar is up a little bit, bonds are holding up, and gold is still fairly strong over $2,000 here as well. It reconquered that important $2,000 mark. I'm not sure if you have that ready or not, Chris, but you could show us a bit of a correlation as well. I'm curious if my thesis and what I just mentioned actually makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the monthly chart of gold that if we take a look, the chart is super bullish. I mean, we've gone into this giant, whoops, let me just grab a pencil here. We got this giant rally phase that came out of the 2000, this huge move, and then it had a correction. It built a base, a nice rounding base. And then we had the breakout in 2019, and now it's come up into resistance, these highs, and it's really just digesting, consolidating. This is a huge cup and handle pattern that points to like $2,700, $3,500 an ounce for gold. Going forward, these are multi-year cycles. As you mentioned before, you think we're near like a similar scenario to 2000 tech bubble and potentially the 2000 probably gold bottom. And I agree. I think this is as close as we're going to get to something very similar to that. I think we are in the start of a new, you know, 10-year super cycle in precious metals. I don't know if they're going to take off and rally just yet. We might need the bear market to hit the stock market first, which will pull precious metals down. But eventually I think we're going to see them kick into high gear, and then we're going to have a multi-year rally to the upside. And we're going to have that opportunity that, you know, us gold bugs have been waiting for forever, which is to get into those miners that take off hundreds and thousands of percent during these phases. I mean, these are life-changing events. You catch one, you're hooked on that space for the rest of your life. The key is knowing when to own them and when to ignore them sometimes for a decade, which, you know, sometimes we have to do after the top in 2011, 2012. So I'm bullish on metals, on gold. They are holding up as the global safe haven play. People who buy gold, they buy and they hold it. People who buy silver, they buy and hold silver as well, but it's definitely a more volatile. It is traded more than gold. And so it has more emotions in it. It's well off the highs, but it's building a launch pad here. It is building a time where it is going to have one of these rocket ship moves. it'll blow past gold in terms of percentage performance down the road. But again, I think we need more time to let things mature. And it's the same with the gold miners. If we look at GDX, I mean, they're flagging down. They're really just out of favor. People just don't really want them outside of the gold bug space. Nobody's interested in gold. One of my subscribers was talking about how in the UK, gold miners are all over the news as one of the worst investments. Nobody wants them. So we might be getting close.
Scandals don't help either, I'll tell you, Chris.
Pardon?
Scandals don't help either. The FTSE 100 CEO of a gold miner is involved in some shenanigans.
That
doesn't help the perception either. So
no, it definitely doesn't. So anyways, I think we're seeing gold and silver miners. They're all in bullish formations, but these are multi-year patterns. I still think we have many more months, I think, before the next big rally really starts in this space. But I think late this year or early next year will be the start of something, I think, very big in the space, and it'll become the new shining stars. Everybody's going to probably want back into the miner space. Just like right now, everybody wants into the AI space. And before, everybody wanted in Bitcoin. Everything goes at its own time frame and has its window. The window for precious metals, we are 10 years later. The longer something takes to build a pattern, the bigger, that move will be after that pattern. So we're definitely in this phase for precious metals to take off. And just to touch on your dollar real quick, the Dixie, if we look at the dollar index, it has been trending up. And I do believe we're going to see the dollar continue to push higher. I think we're going to see the stock market eventually sell off. We're going to have a stage 4 bear market, a decline. And the dollar is probably going to skyrocket up to, 16, 120, very similar to the 2000 top. And then, of course, once the stock market puts in a bottom, we'll see the dollar fall for a decade, which means commodities are going to naturally rally for a decade. And that'll be the full reset, I think, for precious metals to really take off. So I'm really bullish on the precious metal space. It's just, I think there's going to be some pain still before we see that next massive rally.
I was going to say, you're holding on to that theory, because my next question is a bit retrospective as well, because I had you on about 5 months ago. I think it was early September. And we talked about the overall market, same thing like we did today. And you predicted a bit short-term bearishness also in the main markets, which you were right about, because the main markets dropped until October 27th, and then everything just turned around. And here we are today at new all-time highs, right? Yeah. But same with gold. You predicted a bit sort of what you just mentioned. I think it was almost verbatim what you said, that there still might be some pain to come before we do see $2,700 gold. My question though is what has changed back in October, especially for the main markets? Gold never dropped to sort of those levels that you predicted, 1600, 1700. Fortunately, because I don't think we'd be maybe chatting here today if that would have happened. But I'm curious, what has changed in the market? Like mentally, what's it called? Like sentiment is the word I was looking for. Sorry.
So the fall in gold to 1700, 1600, we need the bear market to hit. So we haven't had that yet. Right now we're having that blow off phase where technology is sucking everybody in. NASDAQ, SP 500 are doing their job, getting headline news. So when we do go into a stage 4, I still believe gold is going to hit 1700, 1600, potentially, maybe not that low. But we'll see. There will be, I think, a multi-hundred dollar pullback in gold when that happens. So we need that to unfold. So the scenario hasn't really changed. We just need the bear market to hit, cleanse the market. It'll be like the last opportunity to buy precious metals and miners before I think they're off to the moon. In terms of, the turning point, when we take a look at the sentiment chart, we usually have the holiday rally. And October is typically a low. It's when we see lots of volatility, we see the market rally. And, that is what unfolded. If we look at the gold seasonality chart, right now, here we are in February, we actually have gold going to be probably under pressure for a couple of months, which means gold might just flounder. Gold miners might struggle a little bit. And really, the gold and silver miners typically are out of favor a little bit until we get into September, August, September. Then they go into a strong rally. So I think the precious metal space definitely has it cut out, just in terms of typically we're now in a weak time to get into the precious metal space. And if the stock market does put a top and start to correct here over the next couple of months, that selling pressure is going to bleed over and also help pull pretty much all assets down with it. So that's kind of the scenario in terms of the big picture. And nothing has really changed other than we do have the major indexes carried up to new highs with the big tech at this point.
Gotcha. Yeah, it seems like tech was just extra fuel to the seasonality fire there, I guess. So
yeah,
because that chart you showed looked identical to the S&P 500 chart. That was that seasonality chart. I think that last 3 months here, 4 months, just insane. I promised our audience that we'd also talk uranium, whether the uranium bull still has a bit of breath left in it, or whether we need to take it behind the shed and take care of it. I'm trying to be a bit funny, but comments have died down on X a little bit about uranium. Now that we're over $100, people seem to be happy, but not as bullish anymore, not as frantic as usual during a bull run up higher. Where are we at with uranium, Chris?
Yeah, so I don't have uranium futures or anything to view. I don't follow uranium too closely. We recently traded URA to the long side. We're out of it now, locked in some gains. But when we look at the big picture of uranium stocks, I mean, they have gone out of favor, for that, 10 years or so, 12 years. And now they've built this launch pad, this giant cup and handle pattern. This is the monthly chart. I think there's going to be a huge upside move. I think there's big potential for uranium stocks down the road. If we take a look at the daily chart of uranium stocks, we've definitely seen a strong pullback in the last little bit. And this is the type of price action you and I touched on earlier in this talk, which is around NVIDIA. When you start to get big gaps to the downside or gaps to the upside, just big gaps in general, and you get strong trends up and down all over the place, that's usually a sign that we are getting really close to the end of a trend temporarily. So I think there's definitely, we're seeing a lot of volume on the sell side. I think maybe we're starting to run out of steam. This has a lot to do with, I think you look at the Russell 2000 is also very similar, trading up near previous highs. Majority of stocks are trading at previous highs, which is a potential double top as resistance. I would say we're getting pretty darn close to maybe it has lost its steam. Now it is making a series of higher lows and a series of higher highs. That's the definition of an uptrend. So it is still in an uptrend, but it is showing this type of scenario, this big volatility, huge pops and drops and rallies and gaps. Just like we saw, about a year and a half ago, it's happening again now. So these are definitely warning flags to move stops up, lock in partial profits, just be mentally prepared that it could be over. And you want to make sure I'm a huge fan of locking in gains because I hate to give back money. And there's always going to be a new opportunity or to get back into the same thing later when it's built a fresh new pattern to run or to buy it back on a dip if you're an aggressive trader. So I'm a huge fan of understanding volatility usually means a turning point is coming and you need to lock in some gains or else most people just hold on to them because they like them and they give back all their gains and they get stuck in positions for years sometimes when they could have just moved to something else temporarily or bought it back later at a better price.
Sounds awfully familiar, Chris. Sounds very familiar.
We've all done that. We all do it.
Oh my goodness. Like that one is hitting close to home there, Chris. Last question I wanted to ask you, like we need to talk about Dr. Copper. How depressed is our doctor there, our economic indicator? Depending on who we interview, we're between a no landing to a very, very hard landing, close to depression. So curious, what does the copper price chart tell us and how bad is it or how good are we actually? How healthy are we?
Yeah, I mean, when we look at it in a nutshell, the chart is still pretty healthy. Now, this is the monthly chart going back to 1990. In the grand scheme of things, these are massive cycles, multi-year cycles, but we have higher lows, we have higher highs. It is generally trending upwards, right? That being said, it has had kind of a very sharp move to the downside. Kind of breaking down from this cluster, this big volatility cluster where it ran up and sold off. I'll zoom in a little bit more here. And so now it's kind of consolidating with this pennant formation, which is known as a continuation pattern. And so whatever trend goes into this continuation pattern is how it's going to continue out of it, meaning the price of this chart dropped in and then made this consolidation, this continuation pattern, meaning it's going to probably have another sharp leg to the downside and bring it back probably to the mean price overall. So the chart pattern long term is still heading up, but you know, when you look at it, I feel it feels very similar to this move here where it put in a top, it broke to the downside, it put in a pennant, and then we went into a economic slow time. And if you look at this time window, 2012, 2016, this was slow, really slow real estate. I mean, there's a lot of copper used in real estate. The economy was pretty poor. So we're kind of getting close to something that looks pretty darn close to that. So Dr. Copper to me is saying it's a little sick.
Should store some headache pills for sure. So absolutely. Okay. No, it sort of confirms what we've been discussing here on the channel as well. Like I'm starting to feel like we're always doom and gloom here on the channel, but with the S&P 500, of course, putting in all time highs, but we're always looking for the straw that breaks the camel's back. So getting a reality check from a massive economic indicator like Dr. Copper is always important. Chris, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say it does always seem like doom and gloom in general, or at least I always talk about the downside and the risk, because I think one of the biggest parts of trading and investing is the mental game in managing your emotions. And if you understand what could potentially happen on the bad side, then you can put a plan in place and protect it. So while, for example, I am bearish on the stock market with my opinion and my long-term analysis, you know, we're long the stock market. We've been riding it up since November. And so that is the big, the big difference. I think a lot of people trade opinions and what I'm saying, and they'll take action on it. But the reality, what I say isn't exactly what we're doing. What I say is trying to mentally prepare people for what could happen and what the current trends are, but we actually trade the charts. So the stock market is ripping up. We're long the markets and we're long different sectors. But I am very bearish with my opinion. I think we're going to head down. So that's the big disconnect. A lot of people listen to interviews or listen to what I say and they take action on it. Even though I kind of just said what I said now, we're trading the charts, not what I'm saying. I'm trying to prepare you for tough times so that when they happen, you can actually benefit from it, profit from it, versus go through the headache of living it with your money and watching those hits happen.
No, absolutely. And everybody, again, be reminded, this is not financial advice. Obviously, this is financial information. Do with it what you may, but this is not advice. So we don't have a glass ball. I don't know. You don't know. You're looking at charts, but you analyze the trends. That's what it is. And you add some color to it, meaning red, blue, red, green.
So, depends if you're colorblind.
Fantastic. Chris, I've taken up enough of your time here. Really appreciate the reality check here with the charts. Always good to have that packed in between all of our theoretical discussions here on this channel. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on yet again. And we'll have to have you back right after Easter, probably early April, to see how Q1 ended.
Sounds great, Kai. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, by the way, where can we find more of you? Sorry, forgot to ask.
Oh yeah. Well, you can go to thetechnicaltraders.com, and there I share charts, kind of like what you and I did today on every morning with subscribers, and you see what I'm trading. I send out my trade alerts. You can copy everything I do, portfolio allocation, everything is there, targets. So thetechnicaltraders.com.
Awesome. Chris, really appreciate your time. And to everybody else, of course, I appreciate your time as well. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this conversation, please leave a like. It helps us with the visibility here on YouTube, but it also tells us that we're inviting the right guests and we're asking the right questions. Are there any other questions we should ask? Please put them in the comments below. Always happy to hear from you. Your feedback is really, really important to us because we're not just hosting those conversations to make me look smarter, but we want to educate you as well. So make sure to use that tool, use that comment function, let us know, and we'll make sure to ask those questions for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with lots, lots more. Thank you.